Artificial intelligence allows us to provide, to program our lives rather, on command, while offering the promise of solving some of the world's most challenging problems. But countries all over the world, including Australia, are grappling with how to build ethical frameworks around AI. Kriti Sharma is the co-founder of AI for Good. She's a leading expert in ethical technology and an advisor to the British government and to the United Nations as well. She's in our Sydney studios this morning. Good morning. Welcome to Breakfast.
Hi, Hamish. Great, very excited to be here.
What are the ethical challenges posed by artificial intelligence?
If you look at where AI is already being used, it's in our everyday lives, whether you are consuming information on social media, whether you're applying for a new job online, an algorithm, or watching the next video on YouTube. Algorithms are making these decisions on what content is surfaced to us, how decisions are made. And if you think about the potential for human biases to creep into these machine systems, it's actually quite prominent. For example, there are cases where facial recognition technology systems have more biases and higher error rate for women with darker skin tones compared to lighter skinned men. And when you start to apply these applications of AI at scale, there is an opportunity or potential or situation where we might create more inequality than we have today.
The people that develop this sort of technology, do you think they particularly care about ethics?
I think in the current environment where we stand, the technology industry has started to or come to realize that we have a greater responsibility than just short-term growth of products. And a lot of work that the AI Council in the UK, which I'm a member of, we are championing for and pushing for is greater thinking, thought process, frameworks around deciding unintended consequences in looking at what the technology's side effects might be. Like, we're already seeing some of that from the internet world, which could be digital addiction or online bullying kind of scenarios. When it comes to AI, we have a huge opportunity to get it right. We have a possibility and opportunity to get it right in healthcare, in crime and justice, in access to financial services. And that's what we're aiming to do.
Having a huge opportunity to get it right is very different from actually getting it right. I'm not sure you really answered that question, whether the people that are developing the technology genuinely care about the ethics.
I think that there is definitely a question around how many of those people care about ethics. And I wouldn't say it's 100% people care about it, 100% we don't. We are in very early stages. There's a strong movement coming in and a big role for governments to play, really, to help shape the right direction. And it could mean in the form of regulations, new laws, just the way we've done it with GDPR, for instance, right? A group of nations, 27 countries, came together and created a global movement around data privacy to potentially even fix some of the shortcomings of certain other parts of the world. And I think we are at a moment in time where we need to look at the same for emerging technologies like AI.
Can I put a question to you about that very thing, though? Because part of the challenge with the rapid advancement of technology is that governments have really lagged quite some way behind where the technology is at and have had to catch up in terms of legislation and regulation. And we haven't really seen any evidence of them succeeded in getting ahead of it so far, even though, you know, there are some steps being taken. Isn't that the real challenge with AI? Is that it's way ahead of where society is and where governments tend to be?
I think it's more in control than we think, more in control than we are led to believe the situation is. I also think that governments are going to be a big creator or implementer of AI technologies. If you're trying, I was just listening to the previous conversation about healthcare. AI and healthcare has a huge opportunity to create services that are always on, higher success of diagnostics at early stages in rare diseases, cancer scans, and so on. And so you will start to see a lot of applications of AI technology in government systems, in the public sector, to make it more efficient, bring it to more people. And that could be a great example to begin. So I wouldn't say they're just in a position to create regulatory frameworks, but they're also in a great position to be the best case scenario where they are designing it right.
You mentioned the biases that exist already in the development of algorithms and artificial intelligence. You talked about race and gender. How much of a problem is it that the entire tech sector is so dominated by men in terms of the impact that this will have on society longer term?
I think you've really nailed it. We have a big issue in the tech sector in general. Most countries are at about 17% women. In emerging technology fields, or deep tech as we call it, it's about 11 or 12% women. That's a real issue. It is a problem.
And how is that borne out in the way artificial intelligence works? Because as you say, there's sort of human input in all of it at the point of conception. And clearly that affects the way these machines come to learn and grow as they go on.
Yeah, it's very similar to how humans learn, right? The environment you give them, the data that's fed into it, the inputs that are given. It's the same with machines too. When machines are fed information, data, values, and that's what the outcome is for machine learning systems as well. And the issue around gender comes in place when it's not a diverse group of people, and therefore also not a diverse set of data that's fed into the algorithms. And
so it's not. I mean, it's not even anywhere near a diverse group of people. I mean, those figures that you've just quoted are staggering. And I mean, clearly, this is not a question of regulation or governments getting ahead of the game through legislation. I mean, what can be done about this?
I think there are a few things we need to do. First, we need to establish standards to even check for technology biases in technology before it's released, particularly in critical systems like credit decisioning. Who gets access to a loan? Who gets access to a job interview? What kind of information we consume online? So if we create frameworks and say, well, we need to check for biases before algorithms are released, that's one point. Second is to bring diverse group of people into this field. I follow the typical classic computer science engineering path into this field. But we are at a very different time now. I've been working with a lot of young people between the age of 12 and 17, early career opportunities, getting them excited about the possibilities of the social impact we can achieve, positive social impact we can achieve with AI. And I think there's a massive opportunity there to bring a whole different group of people, funding courses that bring those who are from other programs. And in the UK, we're doing a very exciting piece of work now on creating conversion masters. It could be somebody with a psychology degree, but you have great value to add in the AI world because you can teach AI how to provide better services and understand human-computer interaction. So why not funding those opportunities for those people? And the industry needs to do better than what we do today.
You're talking about the medium to long term there. I'm interested in the now. You're, as you say, you're a woman that's working in this sector. How do the men in the tech sector, in the industry, respond when you say you've got to think about the gender issues here, the racial biases here?
I haven't heard a huge amount of negative feedback. I think people are genuinely very interested because we are seeing some of the side effects or unintended consequences of these of biases in the workforce and its impact in our digital and social lives. In general, whether it comes to businesses or governments and some of the largest players, there's a lot of recognition that there are issues that exist and they do want to fix it. In terms of how we fix it, I think there's a great call to action right here for all your listeners today. If you're buying AI technology, if you are in a position to give contracts out, if you're in a position to invest in startups, even as a consumer, ask these questions. Who are the people who are creating this technology? Who's behind it? How diverse are they? What their value system is?
And then ask those questions of who?
The creators of the technologies, or providers of the technology. And I think we need to create pressure from all sides to do better.
But does anyone know the answer to that? I mean, I can't really imagine walking into a shop, buying a phone and asking who it was that made the decisions and how they made the decisions.
Yeah, I would say for sure that there is a very strong growing movement, and this is where ethical frameworks are important, to create explainability. So helping understand why an algorithm made a decision that it did, or accountability. If a machine makes a decision or a recommendation, who is accountable for that. And the more we start to raise awareness of these issues, the more we start to hold the creators of this technology accountable, the better it is. And it's hard to get those answers.
That's a fascinating idea. But honestly, I mean, getting answers, getting accountability out of the tech sector is almost impossible.
I think we have precedent of getting it right. For example, the financial services world, right? So, we in the UK have established the Centre for Data Ethics, which is a body, government advisory body, comprises of people like myself, but also those who've had experience in creating regulatory frameworks for media and so on. And one of the areas we're looking at is financial services. And the way you look at it is the rules that apply to humans or people working in the sector should also apply to the actual technology systems. And you should be able to build auditability requirements right there. And I don't think we need to wait for an ultimate mega regulation of a GDPR 2.0 kind to start doing better with AI. We need to start small. It could be simple things like the rules that apply or exist in an industry or segment where you're applying AI, the same rules should apply to the technology also. If you're building a healthcare AI system to do diagnosis of certain kind of diseases or cancer conditions or x-rays, then the rules that apply to the humans could also apply to the algorithmic systems. We need to stop treating like AI like a black box system that we don't understand and start to follow guidelines, frameworks to build public trust. It's in the best interest of even the technologists because one of the biggest risks we have with AI right now is not the killer robots taking over the world, is that we don't embrace it for the positive value it can create for society.
Kriti Sharma, it's been absolutely fascinating. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Kriti Sharma is the co-founder of AI for Good.